Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
All right, let's go over to 1 Peter chapter 5, please. We're talking about living free from worry. Do you know that the promise of the Lord to you is that you do not have to have worry at all? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's good news, isn't it? So we're going to deal with this subject, and usually that's about the response I get when you talk about these things, because fear and worry is palpable. It's you can feel it. How many have noticed that before? You know, you get on the airplane. This happened to me on the way back from Tulsa. And I'm so thankful to the Lord because, you know, I've been in services where people say, if you want to be delivered from fear, come up here right now. You're going to be delivered from fear. I'm like, yeah, I want to be delivered from fear, all of it. So I go up there. It didn't all go. Okay? They weren't wrong, and I wasn't wrong. What I've found is the longer I've walked with the Lord, the less fear I have. And I have a whole lot less today than I did 10 years ago and 20 years ago. Amen? And so I've had to learn how to put into practice the Word of God in my own life in order to experience freedom from worry. Do you know everybody has some area where the enemy tempts them in fear and worry? It's not all the same. You know, people will ride bulls for a living. I'm not going to do that. I'm not volunteering myself for that. You know what I mean? They'll ride bulls for a living, and they're not afraid to do it. But if you ask them to get up and speak publicly, then everything falls apart. So the reality is, and I've just kind of noticed this through the years, people have strengths in areas and then they have weaknesses in areas. But what I've noticed about the Lord is he never says, I want you to be weak in an area. And so fear and worry is one of these areas where if the enemy, and we'll get into this later, but one of the main things that chokes the word is the cares of life. And that word has to do with worry. It has to do with, and it chokes the word of God out of our lives. You know, sometimes people think they're believing and standing in faith, but they're worrying, and it's hindering the word of God from working in their lives. It would be nice, and I'm with you on this in my natural thinking, although I've not found the principle in the scripture, if we could just get hands laid on us for every little thing and it went away. How many know that's not biblical? You're going to have to walk by faith. Turn to your neighbor. Look at him and say, you're going to have to walk by faith. You've got to. It's required. It's required. People will do this, and we gotta watch it that we don't fall into the same trap. But they'll hear the promise of God, and they'll think, oh, I got it, I heard it. So it's just going to happen. No, you have to do in order to see. It's two sides. So 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 6 says this, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time or proper time. Verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7 in the Amplified. I'm going to read just 7 in the Amplified. It says this, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all over on him. For he, God, cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Isn't that a good word? How many of your cares, anxieties, worries, concerns are you to throw over on the Lord? All of it. Everyone. Everyone. You know, we read some of these quotes, but I'll read some of them to you from Corrie Ten Boom. She said, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. Do you know, even medically speaking, that worry, now they find this scientifically. I did some research on some of this stuff. But medically, scientifically, it's proven that if you worry a bunch, you'll zap your strength. Some of the symptoms are you'll have these feelings of anxiety and things like that, and it'll actually take in energy away from you. Do you know that they've proven that when you get fearful or you live in a state of fear? Now, this is not talking about you have something come against you and you feel a little bit of fear or worry, anxiety. This is talking about you live in a lifestyle of this. But actually, the fight or flight syndrome or anxiety, things like that, your body will actually empty the impurities in the bloodstream into your body just like that when you get afraid and you let it live in you. Isn't that interesting? So fear causes you to, causes a negative effect, not only in your mind, but in your physical body as well. And so does worry. Worry is this thing, it's this continual kind of droning or thinking about negative. You're expecting evil to happen, is what worry is. Okay? Because you're meditating on things that have not even happened, and you're reacting out of them in a state of concern or fear. And the Lord says, listen, my people, you're not meant to carry all that stuff. I've got broad shoulders. Bring it to me. That's the Shauna International version. Cast all your care over on the Lord. You know what a lot of people do? They do this. They have their cares and they're on their back and they'll go to the Lord in prayer and they'll open the care bag and they'll say, see this one, Lord? Whew, I know, right? They'll set it down before him. And then there's this, my family. Well, yeah. And then my job and my health and my neighbor who's crazy, and they'll lay them all out before the Lord and they'll start praying about it and then they'll say, Lord, thank you that you answered my prayers. And then they'll gather them all up, shove them in the bag, throw them back over their shoulder, and walk off. And the Lord's going, wait, that's not the deal. If you want God to work on it, you have to leave it with him. Now, sometimes people think they're in faith because they're worrying over somebody. And I have seen this a lot in charismatic Pentecostal circles. A bad report will come, something will come, the storms of life happen. And if you don't just worry over that person about the situation with them, they think you don't care. Actually, we care more than. If Jesus was standing with you, do you think he would sit there and worry about the situation with you? So I'd be a terrible minister if I did it too. Amen. You might as well say amen to that because it's true nonetheless. In other words, if God's going to help us, we have to cooperate with him. If we're going to cooperate with him, we have to do what? Cast all of our care over on him. Well, it looks bad. I know, praise the Lord. It's a good thing the Lord's got a hold of that care because it does look bad. But he's got a hold of it, so I'm all right. Any concern too small to be turned into a prayer is too small to be made into a burden. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Worry is a cycle of inefficient thoughts whirling around a center of fear. People say, yeah, but I bad things have happened. I've worried about things and then it happened. And how does that change 1 Peter 5:7? Casting all. I can feel it. We're going to get somewhere today. We're going to get free today. Amen. You say, what are you doing? I'm speaking faith. We will. You can live worry free. That doesn't mean you don't care about anything or anybody. Okay? Some people take it too far the other way. Well, I'm not gonna worry about anything. What does that mean? It's just me. I'm just gonna take care of myself. The rest of you can deal with your own. Well, that's not what it's talking about. Concern and care, or concern and worry, are two different things. Now, I should be concerned about you because you're my brother and sister in Christ. Amen. But I shouldn't worry over you. That'll do you no good. See, I have a responsibility to care because I'm your brother's. We are to be our brother's keeper, right? But if I'm going to keep you, I've got to be in faith because faith is what keeps. So if you bring the concern, if you bring the issue, if you bring the care, we pray about it, we believe God about it, I'm not going to sit back and go, man, I hope, man, I don't know. That is a bad report. What are we going to do? We're going to stand on the word. We're going to believe God. It doesn't mean we don't have feelings. It doesn't mean we don't have thoughts that come to us. But in spite of that, we say, no, I resist you, devil, and your way, your worry, your fear, and I submit to the word of God. And even in spite of how I feel, faith will work if I keep my heart and my mouth right. It'll work. I've proven it over and over and over and over again. And I'm getting more and more gooder at it every single day. And I will not quit. Amen. And you've got to have that fight in you as well. To where when worries come up, when cares come up concerning your kids, concerning your spouse, concerning your business, concerning the dream or the promise that God has given you, concerning retirement, concerning healthcare, concerning insurance, concerning the government, concerning the president. If you're worried that the president's standing over a red button all day long, you're not going to get very much done for the kingdom of God. Right. Yeah, but he went to North Korea and he visited with that guy, and that guy needs Jesus. But I am not going to live my life wondering if the crazy guy from North Korea is going to launch a missile at me. Yeah, but what if he does? We'll be in the sweet by and by. Who cares anyway? Amen? When I was a kid, I saw the news one time. My dad was watching the news or something. And they were talking about at that time, and this had to be in the 80s. They were talking about Social Security running out. And I looked at my dad and I said, Social Security? You know, I had no clue what Social Security was. And so he kind of explained it to me and I said, is it going to run out? He said, they've been saying that for years. Every election cycle, what do we see? The Democrats are going to take, the Republicans are going to take, everybody's going to take your social, you're going to lose it all. And the great motivator for everything is fear, worry, fear, worry, fear, worry, fear, worry. Everybody's a racist or not a racist. Everybody's anti this or for that or whatever, but it's all designed to build up strife and confusion. I believe God can multiply me in the middle of anything. Amen. Amen? Because we're called to what? Cast our care over on the Lord. So I want to deal with something this morning and put this truth in you before I let you go. Let's go to Luke 6. And I want to show you something that I feel like needs to be addressed again. This is one of those truths that you already know, but we just need to hit it again because it's just one of those truths you need to go over and over periodically, just every once in a while, just so you have your mind again, oh yeah, that's what I need to do, that's what I need to do. And it keeps you steady, amen? When we hear a scripture that we've read before, we got to be careful that we don't look at it and go, oh yeah, I know that. That's a sure sign you don't know it. Amen. Like you could. In fact, I don't know, or the Lord doesn't know you know something until you do it. Did you know that? You could quote chapter and verse back to the Lord, but until you're doing it, then you don't know it. Because knowing something biblically, doesn't have to just do with information. It has to do with experience. So both need to work together. Does that make sense? So Luke chapter 6, let's talk about building on the rock. Luke chapter 6, verse number 46 says this, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? How many like that? This is Jesus speaking. We got to pay attention. Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and what? Does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. Verse 49, but he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built his house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So let's go back up to verse 46. Let's look at this. You say, what does this have to do with concerning worry? Because see, you're going to break free. If you're going to break free, you're going to have to dig deep and land your foundation on the rock. Which means what? Which means it's not an issue of spending more hours in prayer. It's an issue of spending more time understanding and gaining revelation from the written word. Because out of a foundation of the written word comes an effective prayer life, comes a stable life, comes a steady life, comes a life that can function in the spirit like it should without being taken off into confusion. The word is our anchor, amen. Luke 6:46, he says, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? So we see the Lord asks a question. A question from the Lord should be answered. This question was not just applicable to the people of that day. It is a question that applies to us as well today. So, do you call him Lord, but live like he isn't? Now, careful with this, okay? Here's a reality about this verse. You can do it in one area and not in another. How many know we're all growing spiritually? We're growing. We're developing. We're maturing. So is there an area in your life where you say, Jesus is my Lord, and you're doing what he said? And then is there an area where you say, Jesus is my Lord, 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 and you're not doing what he says? See, if you want Bible results, if you want Jesus' promises coming to pass, in those areas, you're going to have to be a doer, not just a hearer only. Because the blessing only comes to the doer. Do you know doing isn't feeling? Right? Well, I don't feel like loving that person. Good, do it. You'll get a blessing. But it's not fair. Well, the Lord didn't say, if it's fair, go ahead and obey me. This is exciting, isn't it? We're growing. I love it. He says, I wrote this down concerning, we must realize that we may be able to fool people, but we will never be able to fool God. We must also realize that we are growing, and God is dealing with us each about different things. The important thing to understand here is that you make sure you are going after God with all your heart. Am I just complaining about a situation, or have I looked to the word and began to apply that promise to that situation? That's the question we need to ask. Verse 47, he says, whomever comes to me and hears my saying and does them. Notice there's two things here, hearing and doing. He said, I will show you what he is like. Jesus is about to share a truth with us that is undeniable. The scenario is a person who has come to Jesus. They have heard what he has said, and they have applied what he said in action to their lives. Hearing and doing. Knowledge alone is not enough. You must do what you know. How do you do the word? How do you do the word? You allow the word of God to govern what you think, say, and do. That's how you do the word. You have the word come in, and it transforms your thinking. Out of a transformed mind and a renewed heart or a born-again spirit, now you have a resource where you can speak from. When you speak from that place, it has actually an automatic rudder effect in your life to where it will direct your body where it needs to go. And I'm quoting a scripture out of James to you. Jesus said the power of life and death is in the... So if you're saying what the devil says about your situation, if you're saying what your worry is saying, you're creating a direction for your life. You're grabbing the steering wheel of your life in your vessel, and you're going this way. But if you say what God says, how many have ever driven on a road and you didn't know where you were going, but you had directions and you were following a map, but it felt like you were going the wrong way, but the map said you were going the right way? Welcome to faith. There are so many, and I'm talking about Pentecostals, charismatics. Well, I just feel this, and it's contrary to the word. You're about to crash. You're about to reach a dead end. You cannot be led by the Holy Spirit of heaven contrary to the word of God. The Holy Spirit of heaven came to glorify Jesus. Amen. Not feelings and emotions. And so that's why it's so important that we know this word and then follow it and do it. And then we build our house on a foundation. Now watch verse 48. He is like a man building a house who dug deep. Does that sound easy? I just want a quick fix. You probably won't get it. That's a negative confession. Well, I just read I had to dig deep. Dig deep sounds like work to me. It doesn't sound like, you know, that the solidness that I'm looking for is right on the surface. It's in there. It's down deep. Amen? He says you're going to have to dig deep. And then it says this, he dug deep and he laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, notice that digging deep and having a foundation did not stop the storm. Well, if I just get enough of the word in me, I won't have any more problems. I have not found that scripture. And if that's the case, Paul missed it almost his entire life. You know, Jesus was the word made flesh. Did he have any problems? You're going to have problems. But what's the guarantee? Yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you'll fear no evil. He's with you. Amen. He prepares a table for you in the presence of your enemies. He says, look, even though you're going to be in distress, Psalms 91, you're going to have issues that come against you. You don't have to worry, you don't have to fear, and I'll deliver you from them all. But when you've dug deep and you know that scripture and you've worked it and walked in it and lived in it, you have your foundation on a stable rock. You're immovable. It's not that you don't have feelings. It's not that you don't have emotions. It doesn't mean that thoughts end. It doesn't mean that all of a sudden you're no longer human. You're now robotic Christian Spock. None of that. What it means is you are now in connection with the living God who defeated the devil in every area, and you are functioning in connection with him through faith and his word, not only in knowledge but in doing. And out of that, there is an avenue that is opened up where heaven becomes a part of earth. And it manifests on your behalf. Why? Because you are pleasing the Lord. You are walking in obedience to his commandment to walk by faith and not by. And out of that, the manifestation of God comes to pass in our lives. And guess what? In the middle of that faith walk, you don't feel like it. It doesn't look like it's working. It doesn't look like it's coming to pass. You know, we read Philippians and we go, oh yeah, we got to rejoice, we got to rejoice, we got to rejoice. And I should rejoice again, and then I should rejoice. And then in the midst of it, I should rejoice and go ahead and rejoice again. But you do realize where Paul wrote that? In prison. Most Christians in prison are going, oh, God, it's bad. What is it? How's it so bad? What's so bad? You know, and it's like, my in-laws came to move in with me. I don't know what I'm going to do. And Paul would say unto thee, count it all joy, my brethren. Well, that was James. He dug deep. He laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. Knowing and doing produce a foundation that is deep on a foundation of rock. Digging deep does not sound good to your flesh, but a foundation that withstands the storm does. You ever notice your flesh is stupid? I mean, Captain Stupid. You know what I mean? Your flesh will go, oh, I want a healing. I want this. I want that. Or, you know, your flesh will look at a bodybuilder and go, I want a body like that. And then you'll open your fridge and your flesh will go, eat that. Because your flesh and my flesh is stupid. You can't trust your flesh as far as you can throw it. You can't. And if you're going to walk by the flesh, you won't walk in the Spirit. You can't. It's impossible. You have to make a decision. The flesh, if you let it, will try to skip steps to a firm foundation. The flesh, if you let it, will try to skip steps to a firm foundation and then get upset when the storm blows over the house. That's how dumb your flesh is. Don't talk that way about my flesh. The Lord thinks so much of it, He's going to give you a new one. And besides, you're not a pile of flesh. You're a spirit. You live on the inside. Your flesh is that way. It'll go, I don't want to take the time to read that today. And then a storm will come up and go, Lord, why aren't you doing what you said you would do? And it sounds similar to that. God's not our problem. I know that sounds so simple, but you could say that all day and get revelation. He's our helper. Amen. He's our source. We have issues that we're dealing with. Yeah, there are real problems. I don't doubt that. But we're going to have to build our life on the Word if we're going to sustain in the storm. So then he says this. The result of this scenario should put a fire in us to know truth and apply it. Knowing the Word and applying the Word does not stop the storms of life. It stops the storms of life from destroying you. Knowing and doing the Word of God produces a foundation in your life that is unshakable. I love this. Jesus Christ promised a foundation in Him that no storm could shake. This is not the promise of a man or a government. It is the promise of God Almighty. You know, there's a lot of promises right now going around. You know, how many like the new Green Deal? You want that deal? You don't even have to work if you don't want to. Give me a massive break. You do realize that the promises that are being thrown around in certain political parties were the same ones that Hitler made? You do realize that. Joseph Stalin. Just go back and look how that turned out. Not good. That's right. Verse 49. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built his house on the earth without a foundation, against which the storm beat vehemently and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was what? Wow. Here we see a scenario of someone who hears but refuses to repent and apply what they hear. This person is someone who is building their house on or their life on sand or earth with no foundation. Notice that the same storm comes to the doer and the non-doer. Storms of life are not respecters of persons. They are not. Well, what's our answer? The Word and doing it. If you are a hearer and not a doer, you will fall. It is a promise. People don't like to hear that. They think, no. You know, we just need to be positive. We just need to be positive. I am positive that if you are a hearer of the Word and not a doer, you will fall. You say, how can you say that? Because I didn't say it. Jesus said it. He's right. If you are a hearer and not a doer, the ruin of your house will be great. It is a promise. Jesus said it. Have you ever areas of your life that have been in ruin for a while? I'll raise my hand because I know people don't want to testify to this. I'll raise mine. Not every area. Sometimes it's the addition you tried to add on. You have situations and you look at them and you go, This is how I do it, okay? So we had the flu tried to sit on my family, okay? You say, what do you do? Well, I was out of state. So, you know, I got to fight from a distance, but I can do it in the spirit. There's no distance in the spirit. You say, what do you do? I open Psalms 91. Lord, you said no plague shall come near my dwelling. And then when I get reports, reports of what? Well, they're still throwing up. Lord, you said no plague would come near my dwelling. You say, what are you doing? I'm establishing a foundation. Now, I've already established it, but I'm relying on that foundation of healing that's found in the Word of God, and I'm applying it to the situation. Instead of just, now I'm aware of what the symptoms are. I'm getting information given to me, okay? I know what the circumstances are, but I also know what He said. So what's the temptation? The temptation is that the enemy will try and seed the vision of the sickness in my mind above this vision. And if he can, then he can also begin to manipulate my words. What does the devil know about my words? My words carry the power of life and... So what am I speaking over my child? Lord, you said in your word that you would remove sickness away from the midst of us. So I speak over my child that they are the healed of the Lord. Now listen to me carefully. I speak life over my child, but I speak death over the enemy's works. According to his word. Not according to my opinion. Well, it didn't change right away. So that just means when you've done all you can to stand. You can do that in every area of your life with the word. And when you know the word, study the word, read the word, meditate the word, go over the word and in the word and out the word, and you breathe, you eat, you sleep. I know we had a minister, a teacher at Rhema, who he only actually taught for a short while, but he was a professional baseball player at one point. And he used to sleep with his baseball mitt underneath his pillow. He said, that's crazy. I know, but he was dedicated and he made the pros. After he got saved, he slept with his Bible under his pillow. Why? Because if we put half as much effort into spiritual things, if you eat it, breathe it, sleep it, drink it, you say, I got to carry my Bible around with me? Write it on a card. Put it on the cover screen of your phone. Put it everywhere. Look at it. If it's fear that you're dealing with, get a hold of a scripture. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. If it's something else, I don't care what it is. I don't care what the situation is. There's a promise that will speak to that. Grab that. Live on it. Dig deep. Put your life on the foundation of that word. And as that storm continues, you'll begin to wear the storm out. The storm won't wear you out. And when the storm blows and comes in, everybody around you may be collapsing. And you'll just be standing there going, what? There's a storm? What? I didn't. Unshaken. How is that possible? Because the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives on the inside of you. It's possible because he is the one who does it. We rest in him. Would you stand, please? We rest in him. If you need prayer for anything today before we dismiss, after we dismiss, you can come up and we'll be glad to pray with you. If you need salvation, if you need Jesus, if you're not born again, you need to get born again. It is a must. There's none of this is possible without the Lord in your life. You need to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior and make him Lord. So don't leave today if you haven't. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, we'll pray with you. You can be baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. You need that gift. It's a great gift. Let's just do this quickly. Let's just lift our hearts to the Lord. Father, we just come before you. Lord, I ask by your Holy Spirit, I know you've already ministered, but Lord, show us where we need to be more aware and more active in our doing. Lord, I ask that you speak to the people by your Spirit, to their spirit. Lord, where is it that they need to make adjustments? You know. We ask for wisdom in the name of Jesus Christ, and we believe we receive it right now. Lord, I thank you that as we continue to operate in your word and follow your word. And as we continue to dig into this subject and dig into your truths concerning being free and living at peace, that Lord, we are going up in our spiritual development. We are increasing and maturing in the area of living worry-free completely. Care-free in every area, Lord. We are just trusting and believing you. We are resting with you. We are resting and relaxing with you. Lord, I thank you that as we apply this to our lives, that even physical conditions in people's bodies will begin to change. Healing will begin to manifest where it was hindered before because of worry. We thank you for that. We believe you for it. Come on now, use your own faith. Thank you, Lord. Let's just lift our hands and thank Him in advance. Thank you, Lord, that you're doing it. Lord, that there's such strength being built into us by your word. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Your word is life and strength. It's food. Your word is everything. It is health and medicine to all our flesh. Ooh, thank you that it's working. That it's ministering strength. Lord, we just lift up those who may be home today, either because of the weather, or because of some attack of the enemy and sickness that's come upon them. And Lord, we just ask and we thank you that you're ministering to them by your Spirit, where they are, everyone. Lord, that you're ministering healing in their bodies right now in Jesus' name, and strength. And Lord, for those who even have had lingering symptoms of things, we speak life and total freedom. We stand on your word until full manifestation comes. Lord, because you're faithful and good, and we know we can trust you. So the rest of this week and today, we relax. We trust you. Thank you, Lord. We give you the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, amen. Well, God bless you guys. Don't forget, if you need prayer, you can come. And Wednesday night, we have Blood Covenant again. Don't forget to share that information on Facebook about the upcoming meetings, if you would. Thank you for your help in that.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.